fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome to Common Sense Radio. That's right. It's Thursday night. It's 8 p.m. and you're right where you should be, in front of your radio, to find out what's really going on, to sift through all the fake news and all the media spin and propaganda and lies. You want to know what's the real story, the true story, the backstory, the side story, whatever it is. That's why you're here, right here at Common Sense Radio, and we welcome you to our hour of radio excellence. That's a stretch, but hey, it's what we that's what we had. That's what the PR guy said we have to call it. Anyway, and we are here every week for so many years we can't count, because every week we're shocked that we've evaded the FCC for this many years. And we're here. Why? It's storming. The rain is here. It's Mardi Gras. You would think we would be diverted. We might be distracted. It's not possible. Why? Because we have the steady hand of the best engineer that money can buy anywhere in the country, who makes sure that whether it's rain, sleet, or Mardi Gras, that your electrons will bring this broadcast to you wherever it is, on TuneIn Radio, streaming at FMTalk1065.com, or on that old truck radio out behind the garage, wherever you are, you're going to get it. You're going to get the message, and it's because of our award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate that.
He's the guy.
Good to be here.
He is the man.
Yeah, always fun. Always fun.
Always a man. And to bring decorum and dignity and make some value and sense out of the entire broadcast, we have a director of quality assurance, executive producer, and co-host, all-around nice gal, Gold Star wife on a special day, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor.
And it's so good to be here.
We love having you here. We love having you here. And it's a special day, and
It's been a good day.
It's a good day, and I'm glad to hear that it's a good day, because it's been in my thoughts all day. All sorts of different news going on. Local politics, we're going to get into that. There's a lot of breaking news in local politics and state politics. We're going to get into some of that. And I guess the big news, there's always big national news. The North Korean summit. Let's start with that one.
Yeah. Okay.
So I find it kind of funny. At first, you hear all the hype going that the North Korean summit, he's going to go and, you know, Trump's so desperate for a deal, he's going to give away the farm. He'll do anything. He'll sell out America. He'll do whatever Putin tells him to do there, or whatever. I mean, all sorts stupid spin about, we're so worried about what the president's going to do there, blah, 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 blah. Well, he walked away.
Yep.
He couldn't get the deal he wanted. The North Koreans came and said, hey, we want you to lift all the sanctions before we really start our denuclearization. And he said, that deal ain't going to work. Right. And apparently they had a deal worked out. They were ready to sign. But apparently Kim Jong Il roly-poly there came and said, no, we got to do it this way. And Trump said, no, that's not how it works.
No, we're not doing it that way.
And so now everybody, and this is why it's hilarious, because now everybody goes, it failed. He failed.
Well,
he didn't give away the farm.
Yeah.
He didn't get the deal. But they stop. Look back at the picture, the big picture. This is what everybody's missing.
Yeah.
He's got this guy to the table twice now to talk.
Mm-hmm.
All through the Obama administration, this guy's lobbing missiles all over the China Sea, the South China Sea, the Sea of Japan, all over the place. He's got everybody nervous. People in Guam are, you know, building bunkers and stuff, because they're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and right up until the very end.
Yeah, and we now have gone 400-something days without a missile launch.
Right.
All that nonsense has stopped. Right. He's got him to talk to the table twice. And even, and you probably didn't hear this anywhere, but somebody asked Kim Jong-un, is denuclearization really possible? And his answer was, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't. Now think about that.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, have you heard that? Has anybody heard that?
Nobody's heard that.
He said that. He was asked that question. That was his response. And so the guy is he's there. Okay, we didn't make the deal this time, but he's there. Mm-hmm. And he's willing to entertain that idea. And look, folks, and this is why the other part that I laugh about this, oh, it was a failure, blah, blah. I've had some experience with diplomacy when I was in Bosnia. Mm-hmm. During the 90s when all that was going on, right. And I had to work with diplomats and stuff. And one of the things I learned about diplomacy, diplomats consider success as long as you're talking.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what's going on. If you're talking,
right. It's progress.
For diplomats,
right.
That is success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is success. So the fact that they talked and we didn't get there, is that... It's still a success because we're talking and we're still talking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't, you know, little roly-poly didn't run out and, you know, radio back to North Korea, launch the missiles.
You imagine, Pete, you know, remember, like, again, you said the whole world was just kind of on edge leading up to Obama leaving. It really was looking likely something really bad might happen.
Yeah.
Let's just shudder to think if Hillary...
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you know, so this, again, is not a failure.
No. It's part of the negotiation.
Yes,
look, I do negotiations for a living, and you know what? They have to fall apart.
Yeah.
Two or three times before you actually make a deal.
Right, right.
So,
hey, let's not forget that Ronald Reagan walked away from that house in Reykjavik.
Reykjavik.
Yeah.
Walked away.
Said no. Yeah. We're
that ain't gonna work.
We don't have a deal. We're not gonna do that. I'm apparently wasting my time. Let's go home.
Right.
And before he could get to the car, basically, Gorbachev comes back and says, "Wait a minute. We can talk some more.
We can talk. All right.
We can figure this out."
And the best deals are the ones you will walk away from.
Yes. Yeah. You gotta be.
You have to be.
And that's really.
It's so true.
Mm-hmm. That's leadership.
It is.
Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to walk away. And that's how you get deals done. And so, hey, it's a bump in the road, but we're still talking, and they'll probably talk again.
For so long, every other leader, every other country has seen the United States coming. So desperate to make a deal that we will do anything to make the deal. The deal is
that you give your power away.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Look, compare this to Bill Clinton making the deal with the North Koreans in the 90s. Do you remember? Bill Clinton went
cost us billions.
Cost us billions
and didn't
in
solve
fuel,
anything.
In grain. We gave them nuclear technology. And what was the response? They developed nuclear weapons.
Right.
And we basically propped up their regime for another decade because we gave them money, fuel, oil, and grain.
Right.
We propped them up. Bill Clinton sold us out when he did that.
Sure.
And they said, "Oh, this is the end," because they promised they wouldn't do the nuclear weapons, you know. And I think it was literally 2000, the year before he left office, the North Korea announced, "Oh, thank you, Bill. We now have a very shiny new nuke. Thank you, Bill. We're very appreciative.
You paid
it worked
for it.
Out very good."
Yeah.
I mean, you got to step back and look at the whole picture, the big picture of what's happened.
But it's tough to do because. You know, we don't have anyone showing us that perspective.
But look at the progress we've made. We've had remains of Korean soldiers, our soldiers, repatriated.
Right.
This is 70 years later.
Yeah.
You know, we've had prisoners. They don't talk about the prisoners that we got, political prisoners. Or did anybody hear the news about the Trump got the guy out of Yemen? There was an American being held in Yemen.
Yeah, nobody heard that.
Nobody heard that. Mm-mm. He got that last week. Did that make a headline? No.
No.
No, did not. And actually, the other thing that you didn't hear, this was before the summit, and I guess they were hoping a little better response. Did you hear that the Prime Minister of Japan said that he wanted to nominate Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize?
I did hear about that.
Really?
Yes.
I did hear about that.
Well,
I did.
But not many people.
Not many people heard that, right? Only us that are, you know, carefully watching
constantly,
the news.
I read a lot. And I missed it.
No, yeah, that was out there. They recognized. Or did you see the poll that came out that 63% of Americans think that the United States is viewed better in the world now?
Oh,
didn't see that.
Yes. I think it was either Gallup or Rasmussen poll that came out and said 63% of Americans now believe America is better viewed, more positively, more respected.
Of course, we're doing things like walking away from bad deals.
Got to walk away from bad deals.
That's
you can't
why.
Want the. Got to walk.
Exactly.
Obama didn't walk away from the Iranian deal. He should have walked away. He could have made a much better deal.
Yeah.
No, here's $150 billion in cash.
Right.
And he still got a crappy deal. So, look, we're going to get back to this, but I will tie this up with, while he's doing all that there, does anybody think that it's a coincidence that the rat was on Capitol Hill
well,
testifying
that was, I was
while
bring that up.
Trump was in Hanoi?
Well-planned political theater.
Does anybody think that was a coincidence? That was totally planned to try to steal the headlines, which they did. They stole the headlines.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's all it was about.
And now we got to talk about Netanyahu, too.
And, yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, so look, we got lines open, and we you can text us. Call us at 251-343-0106, or if you're shy, you can text us.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And look, you've got, if you need car repairs, maintenance, or if you need another used car, you need to go to King's Automotive at 5450 Willis Road. They're right there in Tillman's Corner at Highway 90. They're Government Street, Highway 90 and I-10, right on the southwest corner there.
It's easy to find.
It's
not
very
far from the Walmart. And look, tax time's coming up. You may be getting a refund.
Yep.
If you need a good cash car.
You got a kid in college.
That's the place to go.
That's the place to go. Budget-friendly cars, you can get them
and
there.
Good ones.
They've got the good ones there. They check them out. They get them. They check them out. They make sure they run for you. And they'll take care. And then when you need maintenance or repairs, you go there. Look, there are people that you can trust. Tom knows what he's doing. He doesn't throw parts and money at stuff.
Right.
He says, let's figure this out before we just put a bunch of parts in there.
It's like the people you wish you'd known all along.
Right. So
I'm going to be going there.
Yeah. I go there. They've been working on my truck. They worked on my wife's car. Look, they take care of you. You can trust them. They tell you what's going on. They are the right people. So you need to go see Tom and Marie at King's Automotive at 5450 Willis Road to get the royal treatment. Where else can you get
King's
the royal
Automotive.
Treatment? King's Automotive, Tillman's Corner. You got to go there. Okay, we've been talking about the summit and all that stuff, and we're going to get back into the Cohen circus in a minute. But we have breaking. This is
don't
big. We have breaking news music?
It is.
We need to have break. We
but
never
it is
had
a big
breaking
thing.
News music.
I'll get some.
We need to get some.
I'll get some breaking news.
That's very close, Pete.
Is that close? Is that good? That's our breaking news. We've got to go to this. This affects everybody in South Alabama. This is so exciting. We have on the line with us County Commissioner Jerry Carl. I think everybody knows Jerry Carl. He's your county. He's your friendly road and bridge county commissioner for Mobile County District 3. Commissioner, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Pete. How are you doing?
We're better than we deserve. I am here with Mark and Teresa, and it's always better than I deserve. So
I got to make a comment on your last segment. I used to work for a guy, and he would tell us the sign of success is when you can walk away from a deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know, someone that's losing is going to take any deal on the table, but the sign of success is to be able to walk away and hold your head up. So good job, President Trump.
Yeah, no, I think he did
a
good job. And that deal's going to get done. It's just going to take time. These things don't happen overnight. That's exactly right. Now, I know you've been very busy as county commissioner now for, 7 years?
7 years. That's exactly right.
7 years, and you've been busy. You've been doing a great job. But you have an exciting announcement, don't you?
We do. We have, as of Friday, we entered the race for the Alabama first seat congressional seat, which is presently being held by Bradley Burns. I've been a long day. Apologize for this. Bradley Burns, and of course he's running for Senate. He's moving up. He's going to leave an open seat. We have casted our lots out on the water to see how that's going to turn out.
Well, that's exciting.
That is exciting. That is wonderful news. Congratulations on that. And I think a lot of our listeners already know you, that you are a strong conservative, a good Christian man. I mean, the kind of leader that we want. You've been doing a great job with Mobile County. This is a big step. Can you explain why you would make this big step? Because you're going to, you thought you worked hard as county commissioner. You're going to work really hard as a congressman.
And I'm ready. I'm ready for that. I love work. Work doesn't bother me. You know, I watched my son struggle through the VA healthcare system, and it just infuriated me. And I've been watching that the last 4 or 5 years. Since, you know, he did 2 tours in Afghanistan, and he's back, and just really struggling with the healthcare system that the veterans have to go through. And it just, it made me mad. So when this opportunity came up, I knew it was a chance that I can get in and make a difference in the veterans' healthcare. And that's certainly one area that I want to focus on.
No, that's great. We need, the veterans need an advocate, but
well, they need better health care. We've got plenty, but they need better. And the problem with the VA system is there's no competition.
Right.
We've got to figure out a way of adding an element of competition in there, and that will make them better. I mean, that's just like in our businesses. If we're the only game in town, we get fat and lazy.
Exactly. Competition is all about it.
We get thin and but that's what got me involved in it. But I've looked at so many things. We've got such infrastructure issues, you know, throughout South Alabama. I've been traveling a lot over in Baldwin County, and most people don't understand that in Baldwin County overnight they increase 100,000 people.
Yep.
Just overnight, and they're moving 100,000 in and 100,000 out, and the infrastructure has got to be focused on. So. One of the things we got to look at is the Foley Expressway. I know it's a state highway, but there's a lot that the federal government can do helping with permits and speeding the system up.
But and get our bridge.
Go ahead.
Get our bridge. You got to get our bridge.
Yeah, I was going to say probably the biggest thing is anyone that lives around Mobile and Baldwin County understands how that I-10 bridge, the Bayway, has got to happen. We are there. I've been serving on that board on and off for the last 7 years. I roll on it full time here in just a couple of months. I understand that bridge. I understand how the system is falling together or being pulled together. So you've got to get somebody that's capable of stepping in there and watching that project. There's no time for on-the-job training when it comes to that bridge program. So,
right.
And I
right.
think I'm the most qualified for that.
No, yeah, and look, you've been doing as county commissioner, roads and bridges. I mean, you've been taking care of roads. I mean, you even got the endorsement of what is it, the dirt road lady of South County has endorsed you already.
Yeah, I love to walk out of my house in the morning and take a big deep breath and say, "There's nothing like smelling asphalt first thing in the morning."
That's right.
No, you've got a lot of dirt roads paved. You've done a lot of that. Tell us a little bit, because the other thing, we need a strong voice for South Alabama, because we, you know, there's a lot going on in South Alabama, but we tend to get sometimes ignored or, you
know. Well, of course right. we do. I mean, that's always happened. But, you know, we've had some strong leaders down here. When you look at Edwards and Callahan and Bonner and Burns, too, we've had some strong leaders. But it's getting where we are following – further and further behind as far as getting attention. And this bridge project is really increased. We've had a lot of help from our senators, but we've got to get some strong representation down here that can actually watch that money.
Right.
Spend it wisely, too.
Spend
it wisely is important.
And part of, you know, we need you up there to represent, and I know you will represent our values, because I know you being very conservative and Christian and constitutionally oriented, but we need economic development, and you've got a great track record. You were in on getting Walmart in here, the Airbus stuff. I mean, there's a lot of economic development. How do you see that as your role as congressman?
Well, you know, I tell people when they ask me about that, I was involved in the Walmart project, bringing them in. I was involved in Amazon. I was involved in the expansion of Austell. I was involved in the expansion of Airbus. I mean, all these projects that we're all getting so comfortable with, new projects, we really are not paying any attention to them. But you look at the site groups that come in and actually pick these sites to look at, they're all located in Washington, D.C. And I'm a salesman by nature. I mean, you give me a chance to go to Washington and represent District 1, I will go door to door trying to sell South Alabama.
That's
not
right.
Just Mobile, not just Baldwin County, but you know, you get to looking up at Monroe County, you get to looking at Escambia County. We've got natural resources up there that are just incredible. Plenty of land, and we can make these deals happen. But you've got to take it to them. You can't wait for them to come to you.
That's right. You've got to be out there selling South Alabama. And look, the economic development. Look, we need the good representation about the governance, that we have good conservative governance. But the economic development is huge, because when we are prospering, the people, they want to be independent. They're not trying to depend on government. They're not looking to government because they can do it on their own. And that's part of what we're seeing with the sort of the Trump revolution, is that, you know, when Obama was in office, people really thought, oh, how are we ever going to survive? How are we ever going to make it through?
So
people
right.
like me, my age, were like, okay, I'm never going to be able to retire. I got to work the rest of my life
right.
because it's not. There's renewed optimism because of prosperity, because of economic growth. And that's something millennials, a lot of them don't, they've never experienced it under Obama.
No.
And now they're starting to see it. And you know, helping lead us in getting us more economic development.
And you know,
prosperity.
We're kind of like
In 2012, I told people that my father, who is a he's dead now, but he was a retired seaman, and he used to tell me, he said, "Son, when the Panama Canal gets opened back up, Mobile will change." And I didn't understand it until I started running in 2012. The port of Mobile has changed dramatically in the last 4 years. We're getting shipments in now that have historically gone to the West Coast through the container terminal, and all these projects I'm talking about are actually in my district, including the expansion of the container terminal. That's in my district also.
Yep.
So you know, when I ran in 2012, the unemployment rate was 10.7%. Now it's at 4%. And no, I'm not going to take credit for all of it. But it's been a combination and team effort that has brought these companies to town, that's created these jobs. And we have such a shortage of jobs, shortage of people to fill these jobs.
Right. Now we have the opposite problem. We don't have enough people to fill the jobs. So, look, where can people get more information to support your campaign and, most importantly, contribute to your campaign? Where do we go?
Oh, it's very, very expensive campaign. It's Jerry Carl for Congress. Very simple. JerryCarlForCongress.com.
Well, we will post you on our Facebook page.
You're on our Facebook page.
I can't wait
page.
To help you out, Mr. Carl. I know. It's going to be good.
All right. Commissioner, thank you so much. Good luck. Godspeed with your campaign.
I love your program. Keep
all right.
it up.
Thank you. All right, there he goes. Watch to find out more for JerryCarlForCongress.com. Post it on our Facebook, and we will be right back.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Hey, at the bottom of the hour, we bring aboard a very special sponsor, ABC Signs and Shirts. That is your headquarters for custom-made shirts. You want to wear, you know, I'm voting for Jerry Carl shirt, or you wanted something for your family reunion, for your employees, a sports team, whatever, they can do that. Or signs, you're running for office, you're running for Congress, say that. Or county commissioner, since that seat's coming up. Whatever it is, you got to call ABC Signs. Call Greg down there. Go to abcshirts.biz, or abcsigns.biz, or give them a call at 877-744-6750. They can help you run for office. They can help you clothe your employees. They can help you sell whatever you need to sell. Go to ABC Signs and Shirts, and they bring you wit and wisdom from our 40th president, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
And while our communication should always deal with current issues of importance, it must never stray far from our national commitment to battle against discrimination and increase our knowledge of each other. A few isolated groups in the backwater of American life still hold perverted notions of what America is all about. Recently, in some places in the nation, there's been a disturbing reoccurrence of bigotry and violence. If I may, from the platform of this organization, known for its tolerance, I would like to address a few remarks to those groups who still adhere to senseless racism and religious prejudice. To those individuals who persist in such hateful behavior, if I were speaking to them instead of to you, I would say to them, you are the ones who are out of step with our society. You are the ones who willfully violate the meaning of the dream that is America. And this country, because of such what it stands for, will not stand for your conduct. My administration will vigorously investigate and prosecute those who, by violation of or violence or intimidation, would attempt to deny Americans their constitutional rights.
All right, that is our, we've played this one before. That is Ronald Reagan at the NAACP convention in 1981. Those are remarks. And I picked that one to go with this week's column, which is America is not a racist nation, period. And I picked that in the wake of the Juicy Mullet guy, right? And his hoax. And the column is about how, you know, whether it was the Covington Catholic high school guys mm-hmm. or Juicy, the media just leapt forward. They just jumped in with, oh, this is a racist thing, how awful this is, because they want it to be true.
Right.
The media and liberals want America to be a racist nation, because if it's a racist nation, we need them to protect us.
Exactly.
We need them to defend us. They can use it to divide us. It's not true. This is not a racist nation. We see people helping each other every day of all races, whether it's in business or just crossing the street or loading your car at Walmart or helping an old man. I mean, I literally was driving down the street right before I read that in a neighborhood in Mobile, and I saw probably 30-something-year-old black woman helping an old white man get his trash can from the road.
Right.
Aww, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And it just struck me.
And it's just normal.
That's normal in Mobile, Alabama. That is normal in this country. We work together. We play sports together. We serve in the military together. We have babies together. I don't know if you noticed.
Hey, we have
Mardi
Gras.
But the race thing is not stopping people from having babies together.
We have Mardi Gras together. Mm-hmm. I got to ride in a parade.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. It was really neat because, you know, from the other side, you see, you know, I've been to a lot of parades, but when you ride through one, you see, and it did that.
And the crowd is mixed.
Well, that's the thing that struck me.
It's a different perspective.
I know.
Everybody's together. Nothing bad was happening. It was
Mardi
just
Gras is a great example because I do Mardi Gras and we stand there and, you know,
it's
white people, black people, we're all grabbing beets.
Moon pies.
I give moon pies to the little kids and I don't care what color they are. I give the stuff away, you know, and everybody's polite. I mean, that's not who we are. We work together. We worship together. Don't let the national media tell you a lie that we're a racist nation.
Exactly.
We are not. Does that mean we don't have any problems? No, sure we have problems. Sure, there's still an idiot here or there. I mean, there's an example, heinous examples that come up, and we can name a few over just in the last couple of years. But those are actually aberrations.
Right.
That is not what the American people are. We believe in fair treatment for everybody. And if anybody is treated cruelly or unfairly, we are appalled. It doesn't matter the color. It really doesn't to average Americans. Don't let them sell you that lie. That's the column this week, and that's the reason. That was the reason I picked that.
Good article.
Even though we've played it once before, but anyway, you know,
Reagan always fits.
He always fits. Okay, look, we got people patiently. Let's go to line two. We got LD the Mad Trucker.
Hey, two quick things, Pete. One, I wish Jerry Call would call back and address to us why. 14 years later, the Highway 98 bridge still sits dormant. Still sits dormant 14 years after it was built for a bypass.
Yep.
That you know darn well, Pete, that the people, the businesses on Highway 98 have put money under the table to make sure that bridge never opens, because their livelihood goes out the window except for local traffic. And that's why there's no bypass there.
It's crazy.
And you want a bridge? What do you think they're going to do when we start building a bridge that high where people don't go downtown anymore because of the traffic?
Yeah, but we got to have that bridge. There's so much. There's like 90,000 cars a day go over that river.
Oh, at least.
It's a crazy, and the design, the max design for the George Wallace Tunnel was 75,000. That's the max design.
I sure hope that Governor Ivey is listening. If she would give the citizens of Alabama a breakdown on the fuel taxes that are collected right now on diesel fuel and gasoline, mm-hmm. show us where the expenditures are. I want to see the revenue coming in and the expenditures going out, because you remember the last time they got a sales tax. What did they? I mean, education department wanted more tax revenue, what did they do automatically when they got it? They gave everybody a raise.
Yep. No, you're exactly right. Tell us where the money is going right now. Where is
right
it going
now.
Right now? I happened to be at a lunch where a lobbyist for the gas tax was talking a few months ago, mm-hmm. and he made this pitch. If you knew that every dime would – because they showed us all these needs, and we do have needs. We need to improve our infrastructure. And he said, all these needs, we could get them fixed. If you knew that every dime was going to go to fix these needs, would you be in favor? And I raised my hand and I said, so – can you tell me, is every dime in the current gas tax going? And he kind of stammered and mm-hmm. well, no, not exactly. That is the point.
That's the problem. Yep. Right.
It's states, being diverted.
States collect 27 – I'm a truck driver. I know this for a fact. 27.4 cents on every gallon of gasoline and 20.2 cents on every gallon of diesel sold in the state of Alabama. We're talking billions of dollars. Yeah. I want to know where it's going before they jack the tax up.
I'm with you.
No, that's exactly right.
I'm with you. Absolutely.
But I will tell you, the powers that be want this gas tax.
Oh, absolutely.
They want it because they want – and look, so you all understand where this part – and big business has got a good reason. They look and they go, look, state of Alabama, stop the excuses. Your infrastructure sucks. You've got to fix it. This is what big business is telling mm-hmm, the state. Mm-hmm. And so this is what the state came up with.
Right.
So big business is going to support this. There's going to be a lot of money behind this. They're gearing up to get this thing passed. So we have to make our voices heard, because that is where it's going. I think the fix is in on this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
we're going to have a gas tax increase.
Yeah. I think it's
going to have a gas tax increase. Just count on it.
And look, they're looking, because is Governor Ivey going to run for re-election?
Which just goes back to what we were talking about mm-hmm. earlier in the show or before the show.
Red and blue.
Red, yeah, you know, Alabama, big government.
Oh,
big
no, they love big government.
You
big
said
government,
very government state. Eloquently, Mark. Give a little recap.
It's a big government state. Well, socially, it's very, very conservative.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But fiscally, it's a big government state.
Big government state.
More government employees per capita than almost any other
sales tax, sky high, and no one seems to care. When I first moved to Alabama, I was like, surely this isn't true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
I
would ask, why is the sales tax so high? And people are like, huh? Then people.
Not just sales tax, there's an income tax, folks.
There's income tax, the sales tax is high, and still
no
one
is
that active.
Property tax and gasoline tax and tax on tax and tax that you don't see and the other tax and that other tax we don't talk about much.
Because we have a bloated government.
Because there's more taxes than you know about, folks.
Really,
more
taxes
than
you know about.
Sort of accept it.
Don't get
started.
That's
the problem.
Yeah. No, we have a bloated government, without a doubt. Okay, look, we've got James Pensacola is holding patiently. James, what do you got for us?
Sounds like we need to send Tax Man to Montgomery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, they would have Tax Man would have a field day.
But
they'd be trying to send him home pretty quick.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't fill up your gas tank in Tallahassee. They're like 20 cents more than it is here.
Oh, man.
Really? Do they have a city tax or something?
Yeah, I guess it's local gas taxes, but their gasoline over there is always more expensive than, you know, other parts, you know, the panhandle.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that's crazy.
Wow.
So what's on your mind tonight, James?
HR 8 universal background checks. You're familiar with what that is, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes. And they did that pass the House?
It did pass, yeah.
It did pass the House, right?
It was like 240 to 190.
Yeah. Right. So actually, there were some Republicans that voted for it.
Three of them were from Florida.
Yeah, and I was able to find that we were talking earlier in off air, and I was able to find the complete list of Republicans, eight Republicans that voted for the HR 8, and those include Vernon Buchanan of Florida, Mario Diaz-Balart of Florida, Brian Mast of Florida, Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, William Hurd of Texas, Peter King of New York, not a real surprise there.
No.
Chris Smith of New Jersey, also not a surprise. And Fred Upton of Michigan. So those were your eight Republicans that switched allegiances.
That is so strange.
Very that is
surprising,
strange.
Vern Buchanan. The other two from the state, not surprising, but Vern Buchanan, very surprising.
Yeah.
Brian Mast surprises me too. I actually met him and kind
really?
Of, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Well, they you know
it's
they
surprising.
They've drunk the Kool-Aid and bought into the you know the sales pitch on this thing you know who doesn't want background checks? Well, we've got background checks, folks.
Yeah, we've had them.
The problem is there's a bunch of things in here that gives the feds the right to take as long as they need to. Right now, it used to be 3 days was the max you could do. And there's a bunch
so
of
they could drag it out. So
that,
they get a Tea Party guy like me, and it's like, well, I know it's been here for 30 years, but we're still looking at it.
Right, right.
Or let them extend your social media to your background check.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now we want to see your social media. I mean, what sort of craziness is that? Well, you have a right as American to bear arms. Right. So if you haven't been convicted of something, there's no reason to deprive you of that right.
Exactly.
But actually, I'd be fine on that because I think I'm shadow banned by Facebook. So
no, I know.
Probably
you are shadow banned.
I know. Well, I know.
You know what it was? It was you went and gave that State of the Union in Washington.
That's when it happened.
They found you.
I think so.
You hit the radar.
I don't know what to do about it, but we'll find a way.
All right. All right, James, thank you for calling in. We're up against the break.
We've got infrastructure issues, for example. You know, we need to update our infrastructure, and they're too busy, you know, figuring out ways to punish law-abiding citizens.
Yes. Exactly. No, they're not dealing with anything that needs to be dealt with. They're dealing with stupid stuff that isn't going to go anywhere. They're literally just wasting time up there. I mean, this is like, it's like an entire reality show built for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Well, Nancy and her threats today. Did you see that, Pete?
What?
Nancy and her threats.
What's her threat?
She's threatening.
Oh, Nancy's threat. Yeah, oh, but Democrats never vote with Republicans. If you vote Republicans, you're going to be
can't use your
shadow
brain.
Banning is nothing compared to what Nancy's going to do to you. All right, we're on the break.
The good news is two Democrats voted against it.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's good. At least two. So we got some bipartisanship there. All right, we're on the break,
all right, y'all
James.
Have a good night.
You too. Thanks for listening and calling in for Pensacola. Look, we got lines open. We got text line open, 251-343-0106. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Don't forget, for all your automotive needs, go to King's Automotive at 5450 Willis Road. They'll repair it, they'll maintain it, and you can buy a budget-friendly car. Go to King's Automotive for the royal treatment down there in Tillman's Corner. Okay, real quick, we mentioned the Cohen Circus, and we kind of alluded. Folks, if you were listening to that, there was absolutely no coincidence. This was absolutely planned to steal the headlines and try to embarrass President Trump while he was overseas trying to negotiate a very important deal for world peace, literally, right? It's absolutely crazy. So, and then not only is it the a coincidence to embarrass him, not a coincidence. They said it to embarrass him. Not only is it that, it was silly what they were doing. I mean, I don't know if anybody listened to what they were saying or what he was saying. It was like letting Maxine Waters
Oh, yeah.
Just have the mic. It was nothing but accusations and innuendo. He's a bad guy. He's a cheat. He's a racist. He's this. There was really no substance to anything. There was nothing new.
I was going to say, there's nothing substantial. And to be honest, everyone's so tired of it.
We're tired of it.
Yeah.
Look, even the New York Times wrote that the Democrats were overreaching with Cohen.
Oh.
Because, I mean, seriously, folks, if Michael Cohen had actually anything of substance that they think they could hang on Trump, do you think that Robert Mueller and the special counsel would allow him to go and do this dog and pony show for the Congress?
Well,
you wouldn't know. They would have him squirreled away,
right,
and they would be getting all this ready to put in their report to hammer Trump if he had anything. They wouldn't make a spectacle
and
like this.
The timing, you know, you have to think about what's going on. Again, it's nothing new, but the timing a little bit is, and just
It is nothing new. So and it's, you know what, it's going to be a flash in the pan. It's going to go. It was cathartic for the Democrats for a few days, and the media got to go ooh for a few days. But it's going to be like everything else. It's not going to have any effect, and it's going to move right on. So I wanted to get that out about Cohen and all the other things that are the nonsense that is going up there, just like Trump's national emergency. You know, we were just talking about Republicans on the boat. Mm-hmm. There's some Republicans trying to jump ship on the national emergency. It's like,
yeah,
we've had a national emergency on the southern border for 30 years. And now we're trying to actually fix it, and you guys still don't want to fix it. It is mind-boggling. Okay, there's also
nobody's buying anymore.
No,
that's the difference.
But see, what we were talking about a minute ago, mm-hmm, we're wasting time with all those things. Another thing that we're wasting time with is, and you mentioned it, we need to at least mention it, the Born Alive Act.
Oh yeah,
from Senator Ben Sasse in Nebraska, that they were voting against it. Right? That there were Democrats voting that if a child survived an abortion and was born, that you can't help, you can't. Who does
that's
that
just
to
like
any
beyond,
human being that is wounded, and you're not going to render aid? It's illegal, not to render aid.
It's making the death camps look not so shabby.
Yeah,
I mean, you're getting to that. It's the same thing.
It is. It gets all humanity. You're going to let think about it. We've gone past late-term abortions to now they want post-term abortions. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is hopefully it's all overreached by the Democrats, and there will be punished in 2020
and
for just
one,
being
yeah,
lenient.
That one's just very – that one's hard to swallow.
That
one
is very – I
think understand
they,
the motivation. Who is that
they,
really?
They lost a lot of voters on that. Okay, we got to go back to the phones, but the text line is working again because somebody just texted in, y'all still suck. So I will take
but
that
I think
as affirmation.
That was like, yes,
I will
life
take,
affirming.
Oh, and real quick, Will called in during the break to say that apparently some funding has been found for 98, and that there's dirt work going on Lot Road, and they're actually working on it. Oh. So I'm gonna have to dig in to find out exactly what the status is. So we'll try to get an update on that. All right, Bert from Theodore is holding patiently. Bert, what do you got for us?
Yeah, Pete, I just wrote a letter to Senator Jones. And first of all, I said thank you for your vote against infanticide. He was one of like three Democrats who voted against
him. Him, Manchin, and I forgot the other one.
One I've never heard of, I think, from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, oh, Casey from Pennsylvania.
And secondly, I said, Senator Jones, if you want to see the Democrat Party go the way of the Federalists and the Whigs and the Know-Nothings, just go ahead and support that Green New Deal. And tell your average American that we're going to ban all air travel.
Yeah. And hamburgers.
How's that going?
We can't fly planes anymore ever again.
They caught her eating a hamburger.
And they caught. That's right. They caught AOC eating a hamburger.
A big one. Yeah.
So that's just crazy. Yeah, a big hamburger, right? Yeah. Now they know, and I think that's what we were just talking about with the Born Alive, with the Green Deal, and all. They're going so crazy left. You know, average Americans are going because they're not as political junkies like we are, right? But they're listening to this going, y'all are insane. And I think there's going to be a backlash.
That's
all
what I kind of hope they keep going. That's what I said. I hope they kind of keep
let
going.
Let CNN keep playing in every airport. Let everybody hear this stuff.
Yeah.
Let them self-destruct.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These are the most insane batch of fanatics since the National Socialist German Workers' Party.
No, they're very much like them. You're absolutely right. Bert, thank you for the call. Let's see if we can squeeze one more in. Who do we have on line one? Who do we have?
Hey, Pete, Taxman.
Taxman!
Look, There are 400,000 veterans, military veterans in the state of Alabama, okay?
Yep.
And then I presume each one of them's married and they have an extended family. There are probably over a million voters that would support the veterans. But how did Senator Jones vote on military pay?
Oh, did he vote against it?
I think he did. Hey, put your feelers out. I've been so busy doing tax work, I hadn't been able to write it down. But I think he's hiding in the closet about the veterans. He ain't welcome here in Baldwin County.
No,
I guarantee you that.
I think his days are numbered.
Hey, I want to make sure all veterans. I had a retired Coast Guard in my office this morning, 30 years. I said I'm for the military 100%. So this is my message. We got to get rid of Jones. He is a dangerous time military. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Texman. We got Congressman Bradley Byrne has announced he's running against him. He's so far the only one. There's probably more coming, but I think Jones's days are numbered. Folks, happy Mardi Gras. Have fun out there. Be careful. And we'll be back next week. Honey, it's time to come home.